Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
If your swords, I hope you have them. If not, well, get one. Don't let it collect dust. What is it? Dusty Bibles make dirty lives. That's a good little cliche, isn't it? But actually, it's really true. If you've got dust on your Bible spiritually, you've got a dirty mess in your heart, because we need the Spirit of God, the power of God, and we need to know where we're at, where we've been, where we're going, and it doesn't happen unless we're in God's Word. We're going to look tonight at Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13. Of a message tonight titled, it's a question. Are you faithful? You might say, am I faithful? But faithful to what? Are you faithful? Are you faithful as a follower of Christ in the purpose, the plan, and God's sovereignly designed plan for your life tonight? Are you faithful? You don't have to answer that out loud, but I bet some of you may right now be going, you know what, if I'm honest with myself, I'm not. Are you faithful with what God has entrusted you with? Because one day we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for what God has blessed us with. And actually, when it comes to that point, there's going to be no excuses. There won't be. We think, as I said, what was it last Sunday morning? Well, it's all just going to work out. God knows my heart. Don't only be hearers of God's word and so deceive yourselves. Be doers also. Some versions say likewise. What does it mean? It means if you hear the Bible, you hear God's word and what God calls us to do, and we don't listen to it, we've deceived ourselves and the truth isn't in us. When we know what we should do and don't do it, it is sin. So tonight, the question becomes, are we faithful tonight? Are you faithful? And I'm not even talking about in your church attendance. I'm talking about church attendance will naturally be there if you're being faithful in your life, spiritually. If you have a spiritual shipwreck, you might even hit and miss or hit many times what I talked to you about this morning, religion. There's a lot of people that are spiritually shipwrecked that are faithful in consistently demonstrating the world the battle to let them not find out that they're not faithful. We're going to deal with the heart of this tonight. And again, verses 9 through 13 of Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bible and you're physically able to, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's word. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. God, I thank you tonight, Lord, for your word again. Father, I pray that you'd speak as only you can. Again, hide me behind the cross, Father, so that you alone might be the sole focus of everything that's said and done. We commit all this to you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, verse 9. Great. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest what is evil, cling to what is good. Love must be without hypocrisy. What is that? How would you love in a hypocrisy type of way? How would you love, but yet experience or demonstrate this from what this verse is saying? Your love has to be without it. How would I love and have hypocrisy in the same. Wait a minute. Okay. Brother Jonathan preached a message about why believers should abstain from alcohol, right? Why it's not a way to really magnify, glorify, and lift up Christ. Men here knocking it out, right? We're saying, listen, you got to be really careful, because if you want to be under control of the Spirit of God, you really want to be careful when you start messing with spirits. Amen? Wine and? Thank you. That's what the store says right on the top of that. Wonder why they say that. They're selling wine and spirits, right? You're entertaining the spirits. Not the Spirit of God, the spirit of darkness. So when you're under the influence of the spirits, what happens? You do things, you say things, and act in ways that we would never act in otherwise. I will attest to it firsthand. I do say and act in ways back before I came to Christ, when I was under the influence of that, that I would never have acted, never have said, and never have done. I still profess that with the greatest truth right now. You wouldn't want me to try it when somebody says, well, you can have one to relax at night. You don't want to be around me if I start down that road again, friends, I promise you. You would not want to be the one that said, here, let's sit down and have us a drink. You would not want to see the end result of that, because you yourself might fall victim to what came out of me at that point. And you might have buyer's remorse, but also the weight of what you have opened, in that sense, the Pandora's box. What I'm saying in that is, okay, I say and I preach this, and then all of a sudden I go home, I sit out on my back porch with whatever. I'm a redneck, big old box of Boone's Farm, and sit out and knock it out, and then I'm out there a bumbling wreck, you know, acting like a fool. Hypocrisy, right? It's hypocrisy. What do you mean? You just preached a message. What are you doing? That's hypocrisy. So what would be love that then contains hypocrisy? Man, I'll tell you what, I love you. I love you to death. Walk down, I can't stand that. I can't stand the very essence of the person. I disdain them. Well, you're saying, I love you to death. Just love you. You're so wonderful. You're an amazing blessing to me. You're right? Double speaking. This is saying right here, love must be without hypocrisy. If you love someone, genuinely, truly love them, yes, there are difficult personalities that you can love, but it's going to, in true love, it's going to be without the hypocrisy. You're going to love them genuinely. You're going to detest evil. You're going to cling to what is good. First thing I want to share comes out of that verse tonight, and it's this. Genuine love for one another is the engine of faithfulness. Because why? Love is of God, and when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, that is the engine of what? Doing what we should be doing, because we see in Revelation chapter 2, church at Ephesus, dealing with the churches. Church at Ephesus, they were doing all these great things, but what was the motivating factor that had gotten off base? They're loving the Lord their God with all their heart, soul. And he says, look, see the height from which you have fallen. Do the things that you did in the beginning. What was that? A heart motivated out of love, one without hypocrisy. One, actions done with the proper motive is blessable, but motives done with the wrong heart, that's what it's speaking to. You want you our lives to be ones that are rooted in the work of God, the Spirit's empowerment, leading, and guiding, and then the rest of it is going to have the proper motive at that point. Not going, well, I feel obligated to go and help with this committee. Your obligation better be because Jesus died for you, and not because you think you like Brother Jackie and he'll get upset, or me, if you don't do it. Because you step out of a blessable position when the thing that's compelling you or I to serve in any capacity is the respect that we have for a person, bypassing the real motive in the first place that we should have for it, which is because Jesus died for us. You're only doing, and I should only be doing, what God has created us to do with a motive based in a godly love and desire to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our lives. Yes, I love Brother Jackie, and you should love me, and I love you. But I'm not here on Sundays just because I know that you guys might get upset if I didn't show up. I'll be honest with you. The one I worry about is him. I won't stand before you in judgment one day. You can get mad, run me down the street. As long as I am honoring Christ Jesus and you run me out of here has to do with you having a biblical issue, then I've done exactly what I'm supposed to do spiritually. The same as if I got up here and said, hey, I'm the second incarnation of Christ. You likewise better evacuate me out of here really fast, because there is a nasty, nasty series of events that happens when the depravity of man takes hold and the godly focus and the supreme authority of Scripture is flushed out of a body of Christ. Because what happens? Destruction to the greatest degree, and you end up with a big got cooler full of Kool-Aid drinking, and you all end up flopping out on the ground. Because what ultimately happens, the depravity of man at its finest leads to man-centered worship and the exaltation of man, which ends in destruction every single time. There's only one variable in that: time frame. That's the only one. Because apart from the Spirit of God, the God's blessing, and the total focus being on the Lord, it is only a matter of time before everything ends in destruction. What do we see that in Acts? Remember? If this is of God, if this is a man, it's sure to fail. But if this is of God, you will only find yourself fighting God. And that has to do with every bit of it. So remember, genuine love for one another, that should be the engine of our faithfulness. It should not be because we are serving people or we're upset that someone, oh, we're worried someone might get upset or whatever might happen. You worry about what God thinks, because that should be the driving force for everything that we do. Listen to verse 10 and 11 again. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. We're going to get a chart in here so we can make sure we outdo one another in showing honor. Come on, y'all. Wake up before I make y'all get up and start doing jumping jacks. What this is saying right here is you're not outdoing one another in a human perspective. What you want to do in honoring the Lord is you want to shoot for the moon. You want to outdo one another, not in a, we're having a competition to see who can glorify Christ more because I want to be at the top. No. The Lord deserves everything, so what you should want to do is to the greatest degree in you shoot for the moon spiritually in your service, in your honor, and in your desire to glorify Christ. You should show family affection to one another with brotherly love. What does that mean? You need to love each other. You should practice hospitality. Practice Matthew 25. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. Open your home. If it happened that things got really bad, open your home. Well, I just don't do well having people in my house. Well, take it up with the Lord one day then. You continue to live like you want to live, but I will compel you to look at what God's word commands us to do, because as we see in Matthew 25, there is going to be a day that we stand accountable, and the difference in the sheep and the goat is the manifestation of what? The picture of Matthew 25. What you did and you didn't do. What did the sheep do? I gave him something to eat and thirsty, gave him something to drink, naked, clothed me, sick and in prison. I did everything. I gave him my everything. What did the goats do? I never saw the need in the first place because that was everybody else's responsibility. That's what a goat does. A goat never sees the need in the first place. Because why? It's all about me. It's all about my kingdom, my retirement, my glory, and my honor. It's all about what I didn't get. Well, what happened? I didn't get any of that. What'd y'all forget me? Wow, what a motivation. But that's what the goat always does. A goat's always looking for them. They're looking for the payday. They're looking for the this. They're looking for the that. They're never looking to the interests of others and giving of themselves. But ultimately, what I say this for is to help us understand the difference in the sheep and the goats and what God's creative call to us is. And the second thing comes from that, which is this. A faithful Christian serves other with godly passion. A lost person serves themselves with ungodly passion. Amen? Amen? We're watching our culture right now do that. It's all about me. Me, 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 I. It's all about, by the way, do you see what, praise the Lord, what the president has done for prescription drugs? Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Had a person testify to it the other night. Their medicine, they could not afford it. Went in there, it was like $100 and something a month, and they brought it down to $10. That is tangible stuff that's actually reaching people right now. Amen? That's exciting, and I thank the Lord for that. Thank God that in 60 days, look what happened. And that's the things that are the everyday things that are happening for people right now, and those are things that are important. But at the same time with us, there is personal responsibility for all of us. When you and I wake up tomorrow morning, whose responsibility is to make sure you get to work? Whose responsibility is for you and I to put a little bit back over the course of our lifetime for retirement? Whose responsibility is it for you and I to make sure we keep our yard mowed? If you're in a homeowners association, should they have to write you a letter to tell you to mow your grass? Thank you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you should not live in a neighborhood and be a stench to your neighbors. It's ungodly. What I say in that meaning, you should not do what you've signed a thing that you're going to take care of your lawn and do the right thing. You should not say, I don't want to mow it. I don't have time. I don't care. Yeah, whatever. Big deal. No, if you move into that neighborhood and you signed a covenant, you should be a person of your word and you should do the right thing as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what you should do. You're supposed to do the right thing. As believers, we're supposed to do the right thing. Now, if you want to do like myself and live in the middle of nowhere, you don't have to cut your grass if you don't want to. You know why? There's no homeowners association. Nobody can see my lawn in the first place. Amen? So it's okay. Do that. But don't move into a neighborhood and set up a farm in a residential neighborhood that everybody has to see and bother, make your neighbors get all distraught and distressed. It's just not the right thing to do. Do the right thing, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the right thing to do. Amen? Remember, do you want the neighborhood to look at me or look at you and go, oh my goodness gracious, what's wrong with them? Speaking to you or I, no. You want people in your neighborhood to go, you know, I really appreciate how they take care of their home. Why? Because it's going to open a door for ministry for us. Meaning, do like me, move out now if you want to live like I can live. I don't have to worry about my lawn again. But when you and I, if you move into a neighborhood or I move into one, be an honorable follower of Christ that demonstrates order in compliance with the place that you've moved into. A faithful Christian, we're going to serve others with godly passion. We're going to not care about what those people think of us, but we need to be honorable and do the right thing. We tend sometimes want to go, well, I'll tell you what, nobody's going to tell me what to do, huh? Amen? Huh? That's that sin nature, isn't it? Nobody's going to tell me what. Oh, really? Who are you serving? Who's your daddy? Better be him. Because that's the one we're going to stand before one day. And when our entire life revolves around, no one will tell me what to do. Where are we looking at that moment? The heart. The heart's got a problem if that's your mindset or that's my mindset. Are you faithful? We go back to the very question of tonight's message. If you're a faithful follower of Christ, you won't serve people, but I'll tell you what you will do. You will do exactly what verse 10, show family affection to one another, brotherly love, outdo one another, showing honor. Do not lack diligence. What's diligence? Be faithfully doing the things in your life that you have the control over. Man, you're serving God, you're honoring, you're serving your family, you're doing everything to the greatest degree that you can. Do I understand what it's like to be overwhelmed? Amen. I'm standing on the top 5 feet of the Titanic right now. It's going to be fine. Amen? That's what you've got to do, and you just have to hang in there sometimes when you feel overwhelmed in life. It's going to be okay. God's got it under control. But if you and I lose our minds when things start getting, the pressure starts getting heavy in life, and you completely come unglued and start coming all just unbolted, what's up? Should there be times when you think you're gonna? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Is there some times when you want to go to Sunnyside and get a little shot of Haldol from the nurse and just veg out for 3 months? Amen. If you don't know what that is, it's the stuff kind of they gave Billy the Kid on Green Mile that actually would work effectively. Lights out for a little while. That's the battle sometimes. You just want to go and say, Lord, listen, Lord, it's time for a break. I'm overwhelmed right now. But no, what do? You stand firm. You trust the Lord. You give it to Him in prayer. You spend time in His Word to a greater degree. You trust Him. And what do? You keep going. Because what is the alternative? Tell me. Walk out on your family. We've seen people do it. It happens. Matter of fact, there's droves of stories about it. I remember watching one on Unsolved Mysteries years ago. We don't know what happened. This guy disappeared 3 or 4 years later. Oh, 30 years later, Mr. Bill shows up. He had a whole other family and a whole other career and retired. He just walked away one day. Went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, like that little bird when I was a little kid with whatever it was, Cocoa Puffs. Yeah. Little bird that went crazy. We've got to be careful because as followers of Christ, the enemy is going to allow us, when we get out of the Word and we're not in prayer, to allow the overwhelming because of our rejection of what we should have been doing, trusting and leaning on the Lord, we take it on ourselves, and friends, it's never good. Amen? That's why the Bible says, come to me, what? All you who are weary and heavy laden with the promise of what? I will give you rest. You don't need the nurse to shoot Haldol in you or some doctor to give you a big bottle of something that makes you start foaming at the mouth, your tongue hat out of the side of your mouth when you go flop in bed every time you can't handle things. Yes, sometimes you've got chemical imbalances, and I understand that. I am in no way taking away from the fact that there are people that deal with serious things, and I recognize that. But what I'm saying is you better make sure you go to the great physician before you go to the physician, because if you don't do that, you'll end up on something that can wreck you, and you'll never learn the spiritual principles, and you will dwell in a medicine-induced fog, because the spiritual issues are the most important things. God can direct you and will direct you to the doctor to get you exactly what you may need if there are medical interventions, but make sure that God is brought in first so that you do get to someone who can effectively treat you. Amen? The faithful Christian serves others with godly passion. Then finally, verses 12 and 13. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. The third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. A faithful Christian sees needs and meets them. A faithful Christian sees needs and meets them. It's one thing to see a need. If you don't have the ability to meet a need, that's one thing. But if you did, you saw it and said, well, I'll be praying that that need gets met, shame on you or shame on me. Amen? Why? Because not only this scripture, but all throughout the scripture, the Bible actually, in a sense, admonishes you if you see that need and then say, hey, all go well with you. Enjoy, I'll pray that God meets that when you all the well could have been a blessing to meet a need. A faithful Christian sees needs and meets them. Because it says right there, share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. What is hospitality? Here's the church, here's the steeple, open up, see all the people, same thing with your house. Here's the church, here's your home. Here's your awning. Open it up and see some spare bedrooms. Pursue hospitality. If somebody needs a place, be willing to give it. Remember, because it says, you cannot give a cool drink of water, a cup of water, in my name and not fail to receive your reward. But again, I clearly encourage you to print out Matthew chapter 25, and I would actually encourage you to memorize it. If not, you want to do it the easier way, get Keith Green's song on that, The Sheep and the Goats. One of the clearest presentations of Matthew 25, I believe, that I've ever heard. And I'm telling you, man, he actually sings it so profoundly as he shares the sheep's part, but then the goat's part, that it almost makes your skin crawl in the thought of, I don't want to stand before God one day and not having give a drink, not having, no. Whatever you did not do unto the least of these, you did not do unto me. And they will go away into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He says it all in the song. But what's so profound is it's Bible truth, word for word. But it doesn't jive with culture, friends. This is not the type of messages right here that fill up 10,000, 5,000, or 500 member churches. I'm telling you. Why? This is not the kind of message that, unless you are nailing it and batting 1,000 and doing what we're supposed to be doing, every one of us in here should be doing more than we're doing. So what does it do? We walk out of here tonight going, you know what, I wish I'd have brought me 2 igloo coolers with 2 5-pound bags of ice because, wow, this hurts. And you leave tonight feeling like a Bozo the Clown with big swollen toes because you have that conversation, or maybe you don't because you don't want to talk to your wife about it or your husband, and you lay in bed tonight and go, man, Lord, is he really serious about this? I wonder if the Bible's really that serious. I need to get in Matthew 25. And you lay there tonight till 12 o'clock thinking, ooh, if it really is that serious, I got some things that need to change in my life, but really am I willing to take those kind of steps? Lord, it's just going to be fine. It'll all work out. Can I go find those Xanaxes? Let me get about 4 of those, and I'll go to sleep tonight by 3 a.m. Why? Because then we go to the doctor's cure instead of allowing the Spirit to keep us awake the rest of the night as we pray and we commit to getting our life where it needs to be, looking for the need to help meet the need, realizing, by the way, I have so much reason. I've never heard of the billionaire. I just read the story about him 3 days ago. It says, billionaire is about gotten rid of all his fortune as he said he would. I went, uh-oh, who's this guy? I was like, man, this interests me. This guy committed years ago. He was the guy that started, it's a spice company or whatever it was. But he started this company. He's made billions. And he made a commitment at one point, and he said, you know what, I want to give it all away. I want to give it away. I love this. He goes, are you out of your mind? You're going to give away all this money when you're dead and you never see anything good by it as it sits in your bank account and does nothing for anybody. This guy says, I want to watch. By the way, this guy didn't give it. Oh, I'm so-and-so, and this is my foundation, and yes, you're welcome. Name the building in my name. He gave it all anonymously. So no one's known where the money's come from. I said to the person I was in, shared this story with, I said, this guy's got to be a believer or he's crazy. The world doesn't do this. Amen? They don't give away money anonymously. They really don't. Believers do. They don't want the left hand to know the right. They want blessings from the Lord. But this guy was sharing how awesome it's been. He didn't even name the things, but said he's been able to really impact some incredible things worldwide over the last 25 or whatever years. And he's almost spent himself. He left enough for him and his wife to live on. By the way, extremely meager in a very small apartment. What a life, honestly. If this guy's not lost, I want to talk to him, man. You know, but what a picture of someone who gets it. God's blessed you if this guy is a believer, and you listen, you don't care about absorbing yourself in the excesses of life and rolling around and on yachts and your kids wrecking $1 million cars because they're drunk and you pay some lawyer to get them out of it and they do that 20 times and you just, you know, that little boy whose father owns that metal company out in Texas that killed that pastor, associate pastor, all those people that night, Ian Couch, as he flippantly just walks in the court, he's out on probation drinking again, they got a video of it. He ended up going to Mexico to jump bail, and his mother's down there hiding him. It was just a disaster. What kind of life is that? It's not one that's faithful.
caused a man who's in love with Jesus, man, serving the Lord, he lost his life because this boy's actions. And yet this boy wants to walk away like, no big deal. These are people in life who don't know what faithful it was that smacked him in the mouth, don't know Christ, they're living like lost people, but you and I have the mandate biblically tonight to question ourselves and say, are we being faithful? Are we living up to the life, to the standard that God's word calls? Are we being diligent? Are we fervent in spirit? Fervent in spirit. Are we what? Wednesday night, man, are we living with the joy of the Lord radiating, emanating in us? Or not? Tonight, the question as we leave is, okay, are we being faithful? What does faithful do? Their genuine love for one another is the engine of that faithfulness. It's not from human origins, if it's biblical, godly origin. A faithful Christian serves others, what? With godly passion, because it's a passion from the Lord, it's a call from the Lord, and it's only being lived out in their life when it's of God, for God, and everything's rooted in the way it should be. And then the last one, again, a faithful Christian sees those needs and they meet them. I know firsthand, self-service is incredibly attractive. Might I get like, what's his name on that movie, Liar, Liar? You want to just go, oh, it's inside, and you just want to say, oh, it's so easy, just stop doing the right thing, and brr. You know what I'm talking, you ever watched that movie? I remember years and years ago, it's the only reason it was really funny as you watch. What was the name of that? What's the name of that guy? Jim Carrey. As he's trying to tell the truth, he can't because he's a liar. Is your life cloaked in, you know, oh, that's wonderful, that's exactly who I am. No, I'm a liar. I'm doing it because I want you to like me. Oh, I'm doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. No, I'm a liar. Imagine if our real motivation screamed out sometimes. Oh, wouldn't that be a hilarious gag, right? Or you start talking and there's a big neon sign on the back of you that tells the truth, right? So, oh, you're such a blessing to me. Turn around, liar, liar, pants on fire. What would you do? Everybody would be wearing jackets in July, 90 degrees. Oh, I'm just a little chilly. Oh, what are you taking, a bottle of blood thinners a day? No, you know, if the inclinations and intentions of your heart are correct, you're not worried about it because you realize that what you're doing is got a proper motive to it. You recognize that, you know what? I can't take anything with me, and I don't care. Everything God's given me is to be used for His glory. And you know what? Just like the life that I live, I'm telling you, I know for a fact that there's a whole lot of people in our county, for a fact, that believe that we are truly crazy. I know that. I had an attorney say to my face, you're either crazy or you really believe this stuff. You are crazy or you really believe this. And I said, you profess believer, you say you are. Matthew 25, tell me how I can walk away from what God has called me to and all of us commanded to, and I would do it if I can biblically do it. They didn't have a word to say. What can you say? You don't worry when the world mocks you, laughs, or as Brother Willis used to say, the grapevine rattles in your obedience, because I know one thing, it rattles 10 times louder in their disobedience. Amen? You be obedient, let the world think you're a lunatic. That's okay, because I promise you one thing. When you stand before the Lord in your honor and your integrity, having done what God's created you to, I can promise you the very words of ones who mock you and I for obedience will testify against them in the presence of the God of creation.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.